move on to the next case, which is Dougherty versus Indiana Bell. Marshall or Miss Marshall?
Good morning. May it please the court. I'm Dick Marshall from Columbus, Indiana. I represent Sylvia Dougherty. She and her husband, who now live in Indianapolis, would be here but for severe flu. To understand this complex ERISA case, you need to look in two time frames. The first time frame is January of 88 up to early 2000. The second time frame is July 2000 up to 2002. Taking the first chunk, there were three issues. One, there's a conflict of interest on the part of the plan. Number two, the workers' compensation case that Judge Barker hammered five times as being settled was not settled during 1988 to 2000. And third...
Well, I'll tell you, look, I didn't understand your brief. It was too long and too complicated. So could you try to tell us... what is your strongest argument for reversal, and put it, make it as simple as possible?
All right. I understand it's long, Your Honor. This was a 14-year history of a ERISA case.
Not. You have to simplify it and find some, you know, punchy reason for us to reverse. Otherwise, I'm not going to.
All right. During the first time period of 88 to 2000, late in 1999, the fiduciary essentially went after Mrs. Dougherty to get her out of the system. That included in the record a statement that says, as they were reviewing the file and realized they had not touched it for two or three years, our company would gain from her no longer being on the active payroll. That is not the appropriate attitude or position of a fiduciary under ERISA. In the same period...
That's your best argument?
Nope. That's one of my best.
I asked you for your, give me your best argument so we can try to
I will switch to the second time period, Your Honor, which is July 2000, 2000.
Is this going to be your best argument or another piece?
When she relapsed on her injury, she called the service center and wanted to know, why is my relapse claim not being processed as a relapse of my on-the-job injury, which Indiana Bell calls an accident claim? At that point in time, over the phone, she received incorrect telephone advice from a disability case manager at Ameritech. That, in turn, induced her, persuaded her, to not pursue forward. There was no denial notice sent in July or August of 2000. There was no written notice of a right of appeal. And therefore, she prevailed on disability for a year, July 2000 up to October of 2001.
That's what they labeled a sickness, right?
Yes, under the sickness category. Yes, Your Honor. What should have been done is it should have been processed as an accident claim. The trial judge, fixated...
A relapse?
Sorry?
A relapse or something new?
No, as a relapse, because the plan itself says that there may be relapse in an accident on the job injury situation.
Well, she'd been 12 years under this accident thing, right?
Yes, sir.
And she sort of fell through the cracks. Somebody just sort of discovered her out there.
She fell through the cracks, which is not her fault.
Well, of course, but she was getting the benefit all that time. So she didn't.
Yes,
she didn't have to say anything. She's getting the money.
It's the same amount of money. It never goes up with the cost of living. But she has no affirmative obligation to report in or to get medical records. Once you become a chronic pain patient, there's not much medication being done or active therapy being done. She, if you look at the medical records, she basically by 93, 94 was shot. And they had that in the file. The significant part of 2000 to 2002 is bad advice over the phone, which perfectly matches up with the Bowerman situation, coupled with a plan that is totally silent to deal with this situation. This situation at best is not ordinary. She won on her disability claim, but she won in the wrong category. The plan and the telephone advice does not tell her what to do, how to appeal it, where to appeal it, what to go, and they send her nothing in writing, Whereas from the early part of 2000, when she appealed the first termination, she received four official-looking letters from Ameritech. This lady is a high school graduate. She's not a University of Chicago law graduate with order of coif in law journal. She's an average working telephone operator who is not highly sophisticated. When you read Judge Barker's ruling in this case, it sounds more like a trial ruling decision as opposed to a summary judgment decision. She did not give Daugherty the benefit of the doubt. She did not resolve inferences in favor of Daugherty. She hammered her. What is amazing about the court's ruling is that the court placed Sylvia Daugherty at extraordinarily high level of performance, whereas every time that the professionals, the ERISA people at Ameritech, had an opportunity to make a mistake, they did. And they were given a pass by Judge Barker. This is a grossly unfair situation. The videotape was requested at the first chunk of time. Ameritech knew it. They did not give it to her in time for a May denial of her appeal. That is in the record. That's the first chunk of time. The second part, July 2000 to 2002, is poisoned by the fact that Sylvia Daugherty received incorrect telephone information coupled with a plan that simply does not deal with her two issues. The issues were this. What do you do when your workman's comp has ran out under Indiana law, but you're still disabled due to an on-the-job injury? To an ERISA expert, or an ERISA lawyer, or a workman's comp lawyer would say, hey, no problem, it goes on. It is not clear in the plan what happens to that. Secondly, what is not clear in the plan is this. What do you do when you win on disability? She won three times in 2000, 2001. But they put you down the wrong highway. They put you down sickness as opposed to accident, and nobody tells you, either the plan or over the telephone, nobody tells you, how do you get out of this morass? She received no denial letter. She received no notice of appeal letter, as she had received earlier in the year. Those are the major issues, Judge Posner. And this ERISA situation fails, the employer or Ameritech has failed to meet the high duty of a trustee to take care of this woman, not to do her in, not to say our company would gain from her no longer being on the active payroll, but they had an obligation to affirmatively take care of her both in 88 to early 2000 and from July 2000 to up to 2002. They failed in their job. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Marshall. Mr. McDermott?
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Brian McDermott, and I am with the law firm of Ogletree Deacons in Indianapolis, Indiana, and I represent the appellees in this matter today, most notably the Ameritech Sickness and Accident Disability Benefit Plan. After a non-work-related injury, automobile accident in 1983, Ms. Daugherty had problems working. She could work 5 days a week, but she couldn't work 6 days a week. Because she couldn't work overtime, she underwent a functional capacity examination in early 1998. During that functional capacity examination, which was off-site, she suffered an injury while lifting some weights. The next 12 years, she received accident disability benefits from the plan until they were terminated in early 2000. The district court properly applied the arbitrary and capricious standard in affirming the denial of the benefits to Ms. Daugherty in early 2000. Moreover, as to her sickness claims in 2000-2001, the court did not abuse its discretion in finding that she failed to exhaust her remedies in that situation. Now, the plan at issue here does contain the magical language that provides for the arbitrary and capricious.
Well, Mr. Marshall said that she was told over the phone that it was a sickness plan. It was sickness, it wasn't accident.
Yeah, that relates to the 2000-2001 sickness benefit. The time frame is in July 2000, she received notice that they were categorized as sickness benefits. She didn't do anything. She learned again in August 2000 the same thing. She called the claims manager and asked, why is this not accident benefit? She didn't say this should be. She didn't give any facts as to why it should be accident disability benefits. She merely asked the question. She got a voicemail back and no further follow-up at that point in time. In fact, what the person told her, the voicemail was that the accident or the disability benefit had to attach to a worker's comp to be an accident disability. And during that situation, during that time frame, Ms. Doherty actually went and filed a worker's compensation claim, another one. But yet she never contacted the plan, including that claims manager, who's not a fiduciary of the plan, saying, hey, I got a worker's comp.
You're saying she shouldn't have relied on the voicemail. She should have pursued, she should have made some effort to get a more authoritative judgment from the plan. Is that
that's correct.
The
she
basic
shouldn't,
argument? Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't rely, and of course there was no reasonable reliance on that information. In fact, later on when the workers' comp settlement was finalized in October 2002, in a settlement agreement that she signed, she said that she was injured on June 26, 2000. She wasn't sure if it was a new injury, pre-existing injury, or a combination of the two. So even she didn't know that it tied to the 1988 injury. How was the plan under those circumstances to know it was an accident disability benefit plan? So that's why
I understand this telephone conversation where it said this is tied to the workers' comp. That was inaccurate. Was that a correct statement or an inaccurate?
It's difficult to tell, Your Honor, because we don't have any more information about what that meant. Typically, a workers' comp claim is going to be attached to an accident disability because it occurs during the workplace. But those definitions are not synonymous necessarily. It could have meant that the person thought it's got to be tied to an on-the-job injury. We just don't know.
Well, whatever it is, she took that information and then went and filed a workers' comp. Is that?
It's around that time frame in August 2000.
Didn't come back with whatever settlement or something to redefine this as an accident?
Correct, Your Honor.
And by not doing that, you're saying she waived it?
She never put us on notice that she's claiming that accident disability benefits should have been given to her in 2000, 2001. As a result, they were processed as sickness disability benefits.
It seems odd. Now, so I gather the accident benefits are more generous than the sickness benefits?
That's correct. They last for a longer period
right.
of time.
But isn't that kind of odd? If the accident is on the job and therefore gives rise to a workers' compensation claim, is the workers' compensation subtracted from the accident benefits?
Yes.
So they're integrated.
Like they're integrated. The accident disability would be on top of the workers' comp disability benefits, and that's what happened for 12 years.
Now, so the exhaustion issue that you've been discussing, Judge Mannion, so that wipes out, if you're correct on it, that wipes out part of her claim. But isn't there some other issue here that isn't affected by that?
Yes.
And
what is that? Mr. Marshall is correct. It's really two different issues. One was the denial of the accident disability benefit in early 2000 that lasted for 12 years. Was that proper, and under the arbitrary and capricious standard, we contend it was.
So that's before the relapse issue. Is
that's correct.
Right? And this is where you relied on the video.
Yeah, that's where the video
that she wasn't really. Yeah.
The video comes into play, and actually
he said what that the video was. Was too late or something?
There have been couple of allegations as to the video. One is that Ms. Doherty's sister appears in the video rather than Ms. Doherty herself. Ms. Doherty does admit that she is in the video for some portion of the video, except for a part where there's a person chopping wood off a tree.
Twins?
She claims that her sister. Well, if you look at the video, I think it's the same person. That's what the plan representatives thought. That video was given to an independent.
So you don't think the sister is in the video?
I don't think so. And the affidavits.
Well, are they twins or what?
No, they're not. They're
twins?
They're not twins that
I know.
You have
a picture of the other one? Of the sister?
No, Your Honor. The affidavits that were submitted in summary judgment by Ms. Doherty and her sister said that is their opinion that is the sister in the video. But the video was not the only thing relied upon by the plan. They had an independent doctor.
So the sister issue is one objection they make to the video. Is there another?
She's claiming that she should have been provided the videotape during the claims process. But what happened, she never specifically requested it, whether verbally or in writing. What she did, she contacted her union representative for the tape. That person that's not in the record must have talked to two other people who requested it.
But you're saying that there's no picture of the sister in the record.
That's correct.
Which would presumably resolve the issue.
That's correct.
Is that the case? Is that it?
Yep, that is, Your Honor.
Well, it was taken from far away and they couldn't discern who it was. It wasn't a close-up picture, was it?
It was the videotape is actually pretty close, and you can tell the person that's chopping down the tree or cutting off the tree is fairly similar to the person that's walking
in
and out of Walmart. Pardon me?
Was she not facing the camera?
Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm. And it shows her talking to passersby as they stopped and asked her questions as well. And as to the conflict of interest, Mr. Marshall did mention that.
Do you know the age of the sister relative to the Mrs. Doherty?
I think she's moderately younger, Your Honor, but I can't recall the exact age.
Okay.
We don't think there's any conflict of interest other than the speculative comments made by the plaintiff and appellant in the case. The evidence that they used to support the allegation of bias is in 1993 and 1997. The benefits continued for 7 to 8 years, 3 or 4 years after that, before they were denied. There's no evidence of any connection between what the Employee Benefit Committee did and this alleged effort to, you know, to get rid of her.
Well, the camera work, that was done at the end of the 12 years, wasn't it?
Yes, it was done in 1999. That claim had languished there. There had been no updated medical information.
Yeah.
I think it was reasonable for the plan to look at that situation to make sure that the person was disabled or not.
Now, when did Dr. Trotter or Moskowitz?
Dr. Trotter physically examined Ms. Doherty in Florida in January of 2000. And then after that, January 7th, I believe, after that, the denial came out. She submitted additional medical records during that time. All those records were reviewed by another doctor, Dr. Trotter, who confirmed and concurred with the opinion of Dr. Moskowitz that she was not disabled at that time.
Okay, well, thank you very
thank
much,
you.
Mr. Chairman. Mr. Marshall, how much time does he have? Minutes?
Thank you. I think the court understands this, but just in case it does not, a person who's hurt on the job that receives accident disability benefits receives them forever unless and until that disability is removed. And the definition is forever is up to retirement. That is different than workman's comp. Workman's comp by Indiana law has a statutory limit. For this particular accident, it was 625 weeks of benefit. When you receive your benefits, you receive for her $190 per week or $380 every 2 weeks.
What
tax
is this
free.
Relevant to?
It is relevant to the fact to the arguments made by him and the question, I think,
well,
from Judge Manning.
Well, what Manion. Is the relevance? I don't understand you.
There was a question as to how the plans work. Workman's comp is different.
What is the relevance to any issue in the appeal?
Well, very simply, because Judge Barker determined that the workman's comp was settled in 93. It was not. And
what difference does that make to the appeal?
Because it makes a clear implication and a reasonable implication that Judge Barker thought from 93 to 2000 this woman was getting money that she was not entitled to, which is not true.
Did she get a 625-week benefit from workers' comp?
A combination of the $380 a week for or $380 every 2 weeks and a little extra money, which was taxed, which makes up the accident disability benefit. That flowed all the way through to early 2000.
And that's about when workers' comp expired, I guess.
Yes, it did. Mathematically, it expired, 625 weeks. That's where the confusion comes. This is an extraordinary situation that does not meet a normal day-in and day-out ARISTA. It must be remembered.
Are you going to rebut? Your opponent made some pretty good-sounding argument. Do you
yes,
have
sir.
Any response to him, or are you going to
I do. I'm going to tell you what happened in July and August of 2000 to indicate that it was an on-the-job injury. Ameritech solicited her medical records from a Dr. Midla,
what M-I-D-L-A. What about the video? Do you want to say something about the video?
I want to say something about the video. On April 11th of 2000, in Ameritech's record, is a request for the video from her union representatives. They wrestled over paperwork. In May, in early May of 2000, she was turned down. She never got the video. The solution for a trustee is you mail the video to the lady, and you don't worry about the authorization or the union or what have you. She never got the video.
What would she have done with the video?
She would have looked at it and determined that the lady sawing bark off of a palm tree was her sister.
Well, why isn't there a picture of the sister somewhere?
Because the picture, the sister is in the video. And it's been reviewed by the magistrate.
Why isn't there another picture, a picture of unquestioned authenticity of the sister? So you could look at the video, you could look at the picture of the sister, and you'd know whether it was, or you might not know, but that would certainly be the ordinary way in which someone would determine whether the person in the video was the same.
I'll give you a female answer to that, Your Honor. The videos was in 1999. This is late 2005. The women look differently, they're built differently, and they have different hair. And that's the reason.
There's no picture of the sister taken in 1999?
No. We're talking about a 2 to 3 minute clip.
No. There are people have pictures of themselves usually, right? So
I don't know.
So think there'd be a picture of the sister taken in 1999. You'd look at the picture, and you'd look at the video, and you'd look at it, and you'd say, you know, this is the same person or these two different people. It's odd.
Your Honor, you wouldn't have that in the record. I can either agree or disagree with you, but the point that you're making, Your Honor, is a point for trial and not a point for summary judgment.
No, you give it to this benefits committee, and you say, here's a picture of the sister. Look, it looks just like this person in the video.
She did not give it to the benefits committee, Your Honor, because Meritech knew on April 11th that she wanted it. They turned down her appeal on early May of 2000, and she never got the video until 2004.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
I've overstayed.
She got the video, I guess.
I'm sorry?
Eventually she got the video.
She did get the video, and the video was seen during a settlement negotiation and was seen by the magistrate.
Okay. Well, thank you all. Thank you, Mr. Marshall and Mr.